Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you're welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. The Master's Voice has various ways for you to benefit from using the channel. You can watch whatever video the algorithm suggests to you. That's one basic way to do it. However, there are playlists here where the videos have been arranged thoughtfully for you by theme so that you can be able to choose a particular lane to hear and learn and grow in your understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. And once you use the playlists and you go through them from the oldest videos to the newest ones, you have to arrange the filter at the side. So you look for the playlists on my dashboard. And then you arrange it from oldest to newest. As you take your time to go through the videos on each particular playlist, you will find that the Holy Spirit will answer so many questions that you might have concerning Russia and China coming here to the United States at the end times, concerning issues of the supernatural, whether you're interested in finding out more about giants, finding out more about fallen angels, finding out more about the hybrid creatures that we call aliens, the demonic hybrid creatures that we call aliens. Whether you're interested in finding out more about the coming scourge of transhumanism to the earth, how human beings will no longer be satisfied with their true nature that God gave them as Adam and Eve, but they will arise in pride in their hearts and they will start to echo the same sentiments of Lucifer, of Satan. And they will no longer be content to be man, but they will start to merge their bodies with machines and with other types of supernatural things that will destroy our nature, their nature as man, and make them unacceptable in the sight of God. There's playlists about sin, what sin is. Please make sure that you go through the sin series. You will find that it's highly beneficial to tighten your walk with God, to make you aware of things that you may not know are sins, but they are sin according to the Word of God. There's also the repentance playlist that I highly recommend. If you listen to the sin series and you listen to the repentance playlist right after it or at the same time, it will effect such a change in your awareness of what is acceptable to God for us as children of God and what is unacceptable to God. So the playlist is one of the ways that I highly recommend that you can make your way through this blog. There's also audio where you can move through all the blog's materials as podcasts. And there are some materials that could no longer be hosted here anymore because of YouTube's policies. And so they had to be removed to other channels. You can find all of those on the audio podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, and you can find them on Rumble and BitChute. And so now I am doing the last prophecy that I received at the same time as others. The last part of the Slavery Chronicles, this is part 5, and the title is The Slavery Chronicles, Arise My People. And I received this also on June the 7th, 2019. So I have explained at the beginning of each prophecy because I don't know which one people will watch first. This may be the first video that YouTube ever recommends to you, first video you've ever seen. I received a series of visions all at the same time. So I was looking at various visions playing out in front of me all at the same time on one day. And that was the time that God introduced to me, Celestial, formally for the first time, a theme that I had not heard before, which is that slavery, the act of taking people against their will and spreading them out across the world, spreading them out across the continents of the world, would come to the United States in these modern times. And I've shared how that thing, it shook me and it truly confused me because I was thinking to myself, we have so many treaties making this outlawed, making this illegal. We have so many international agreements that are consistent in agreement that this is a destruction of human rights. That is what slavery is. It has always been that, but there were no laws against it. And therefore, there were laws even enforcing it and strengthening it in the earth, ancient times and recent ancient times, you know, just a few decades ago. So To see God saying that, no, this very evil that was perpetrated in the earth and perpetrated in particular the slavery of America, which we call chattel slavery, which the Bible refers to as bonded servitude, which is basically a kind of servitude where you are taken against your will, put into service, and you will work like an animal until the day you expire, until the day your body can't hold on to life anymore, or until the day your life is taken from you, usually in some heinous and extremely aggressive and violent manner. God was saying that this type of slavery will come to America as a direct repayment for the fact that America enslaved his people. So that is what the slavery chronicles are. God is speaking and saying that for the judgment of slavery upon his people that was executed here, how America took slaves, how America genocided people, how America entrapped people and abused their form and their flesh and their manhood, womanhood, and childhood, and basically destroyed them in a heartless manner, a manner unbecoming, a manner that no human being should approach or force upon other humans. That same slavery will come back to the United States. So the slavery judgment over the years, you've been listening to other prophecies, it's come up and God has said that this will be the punishment for sexual immorality. This will be the punishment for sexual perversions, people who are practicing transgenderism, people who are practicing homosexuality, people who are guilty of bestiality, people who are adulterers, people who are fornicators, people who are masturbating, looking at porn. Anyone within that cache where you abuse your own body, where you are maybe online selling yourself for sex or as living as a stripper and calling yourself a sex worker, as a prostitute, and things like that. All types of sexual immorality are made quite germane. They're made quite humane and quite cute in America. Laws have changed, perceptions have changed. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His viewpoint does not change. And when it comes to finality of end times judgment, it is God who holds the pen. It is not the United States government. It is not any human rights boards. It is not the United Nations trying to say, well, if a person's going to be a prostitute, we need to protect the prostitute worker's life and things like that. There's nothing like that. God holds the pen. God makes the final determinations. God says what is sin. God says what is unrighteous. God tells us what to stay away from. And if we don't want to stay away from those things, there are consequences. So yes, I have been speaking of slavery for immorality and slavery for judgment, but I have also over the years been speaking of slavery as a direct repayment for the act of slavery. And that is what I have been carrying on. So part one was talking about how, please excuse the noise, how America will be taken into captivity by Russia and China. Part two was speaking of the judgment of all America's sin as a cup of wrath that is going to fall over and the Lord is not going to prevent it from falling over. And the righteous in the land, those who do not partake of these sins, those who moan and cry over the sins of the nation, we are not enough. There are not enough righteous people in America to turn back this judgment. No matter who gets upset, no matter who says America is a Christian nation, you are living in deception, because all you have to do is open your eyes and be honest with yourself and you can see where the country is now morally and where it's heading. There are not enough people praying, fasting. There are not enough righteous seed in the land, basically, to turn back that judgment. So the judgment is going to fall. And part three was just completed, and it is the prophecy called Buffalo Soldiers. Buffalo Soldiers. So this fourth part, which we'll just call part five, because part one is actually an introduction that I made no video for. The Slavery Chronicles, Arise My People, part five. And just like part four with the Native Americans, Buffalo Soldiers, part five deals with identity. Part five deals with identity and understand that biblically, when God is bringing a blessing, he will identify who's getting the blessing. So when God is bringing a judgment, a chastisement, he will also identify who's getting this judgment and chastisement. And this part is talking about the head, Judah, the head, as well as Israel. the whole. Who is true Israel? So there are many prophecies like that. Yehudim will fall, Psalm 83 war and Exodus. Israel is a nation. All those are available on my Dash. So please make sure that you read them and you watch them so that you can have a better understanding of what I'm speaking about here. The banner scripture is this, and it's not a scripture. It is just the words of an old spiritual that is well known here in America. And the song is called Go Down Moses. And this part that the Lord spoke to me as I was receiving this vision is this. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And this is referencing the Exodus where the Lord selected two Levites, Moses and his brother Aaron, to go and stand in front of one of the most powerful rulers of the time, Pharaoh, and tell him that the Lord God is requiring of you, Pharaoh, that you must open your hand and release the people who have for 430 years been serving here under your yoke as chattel slaves. So in the Exodus, there was nothing that the Israelites were not required to do. They had absolutely no freedom, absolutely no rights, exactly like it was here in the United States. They were bonded servants. They did labor day and night. And the Bible records that these people became anguished in their souls because their lives were basically worthless as they were living in Egypt. It was just generation after generation for 430 years, dying with no rights and no personhood at all. And so scriptures that you can look at for this are Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Deuteronomy chapter 31 verses 14 to 30. And so out of those layered visions, this is the last one that I saw. And the picture that I found here to express what I saw in the vision, I hope you can see it clearly. It is a picture of captured Africans sitting in the hold of a ship, sitting in a hold of a ship as they made what was frequently referred to as the Middle Passage on their way, not only to the United States of America. These people were not only taken to the United States of America, they were scattered all over the world. So you have to understand that this punishment of God was very serious. If I can explain to you spiritually what the impact of this judgment of God was like, it was like when a very fed up person of extremely high power smashes their fist down on a table in such a way that all the cutlery jumps and everything just goes in various directions. That is what the impact of God's wrath was like. And it was not over one or two or three or five generations that this happened. This judgment that came upon them from Deuteronomy 28 was given to them almost right, I can say, very, very early on in their history, after Abraham had stopped wandering and everything, and they had entered into where they were supposed to be. Joseph went over to Egypt and the people came over. They were only 70 in number. They spent a very long time in Egypt and they enjoyed a very good life in Egypt because Joseph was known as the regent. Joseph was the second highest in the land and Joseph was a man of considerable power. And like all people who have favor with a ruler, when Joseph brought his people over, he set them up. He gave them good advice and these people were mightily blessed. And because the hand of God was upon them and God had opened doors for Joseph in not only Egypt, but the entire region, because Joseph was the man who saved the known earth at that time from dying of a terrible 7-year famine. These people were actually in very high esteem. They were living the cushy life. But as time goes on, the Bible says that as the pharaohs were dying and changing, Joseph died, all his generation died, and also the pharaoh who knew Joseph died. And Israelites fell upon hard times. They lost their rights and they were made into slaves. And so the group that God was showing me refers to major West African, Middle African, and Southern African tribal nations. God did not name these nations to me. He simply said, countries that are major countries in West Africa, in Middle Africa, and Southern Africa, those tribal nations, some of them were taken abroad. That means that some of them yet remain in Africa. This is a very important theme that those who were taken into slavery need to understand, that not every Hebrew, not every Israelite, God's people, has tasted slavery. This itself is a cause for sometimes abrasiveness, because there's different mindsets from if you grew up free and if you grew up in captivity. So some are still at home. Some are still not necessarily at home, because there's many mindsets and misconceptions that people have. Some are still in the place where they settled, and others were brought abroad. And God says that them who went abroad, they now go by these names: Haitian, Dominican Republic, Jamaican, Martinique, I'm not sure where that is, and all the other Caribbean islands. I do not know them all by name and their designation, as God was giving it to me. This is 5 years ago, okay, was as a group. The Lord also spoke of this group of people called the Gula or the Gala people. He also spoke of the Lemba, and he spoke of the Bantu nations of the south of Africa. And he also said that there are major tribal strains of Israel within India. And I've always been slightly fascinated by that, though I haven't really taken time to crack open that area of research. He said the black and the brown, the Brahmin, in India, he is saying, you rejected caste, you of the lower caste, you whom are called the unclean caste, you who are not comforted, not clean, seen as the outcast and the runaways of India. He says, you who live in the forests hidden from view. So imagine that there are Israelites who are living untapped, unknown, undiscovered, God is saying, hidden from view, and he doesn't even give a name for them. Also, he says, in the Sudan, so there are Hebrews in the Sudan. He says, in the Maghreb, that is an area of desert. He said, hidden in the Sahara, and then these two were named by name, Nigeria and Ethiopia. These are modern day designations. Nigeria, capital letters, there was emphasis there. Ethiopia, and then he also said major parts of Kush. This is Egypt. At least I think it is. Biblical Ethiopia is what it was called, but biblical Ethiopia was not modern day Ethiopia now. They would call it Ethiopia and it would not be actual Ethiopia. It would be called Kush. There were many more that I could sense this prophecy applied to. So many more this prophecy applied to, but I could not hear all the names. I could not hear all the names. It was as if my mind was not holding all the names. I did not know the names. And the last that the Lord mentioned was, you, the Black Americans of the United States of America. So these are the various groups. And as you are listening, I found another word from quite a while ago, and only part of that word is published on the Master's Voice, and that word has gone quite viral at the end of last year, 2023. That word is called, the way of the wicked is darkness and thorns, and that's the prophecy that was talking about false prophets and very clearly detailed the fall of Bishop T.D. Jakes. But for some reason, as I was going through my notes tonight, just making sure that I'd gathered everything, the Holy Spirit led me back there, and there's a whole chunk there on Israel. So with the Lord's permission, perhaps I will share it. But here are the people you're hearing about, the island nations, and there's lots of island nations around the United States. There's not only Haiti and Jamaica and the Dominican Republic. There's people in Puerto Rico, and there's people in Guyana. There's people in Barbados and Barbuda and all the different places around here clustered. And the jobs that these people had was burden bearers. And this is the irony of, I think, unfaithfulness to God. This is the irony of unfaithfulness to God. And America herself will be a witness to it, because you've been hearing for years here. I'm about to hit my 5-year mark in May of 2024. So you've been hearing, not here for a month or two, but I've been consistent coming back despite the anger, the rejection, the abuse, the slander, all of it. I've been coming back to consistently say the same things, which is that America will fall to her enemies. And by now you can see a trend with God. When you confront God in unrighteousness and rebellion, he will punish you. This is a fact. It doesn't matter what the modern generation thinks. Oh, God is not a God of such judgment. You should preach love. You're not sharing enough love. There's nothing like that. There's only Bible fact, not Bible fiction. So my words are strictly for people who at least have a fundamental grounding in the Word of God. When you confront God with rebellion, you will get punished, but you will not just get any type of fly-by-night dollar store punishment. You are going to get the identical type of rebellion that you have. So for instance, America's warfaring nature, America's aggression is going to be repaid back to her in similar aggression. This is why the judgment on this country is not that, oh, the volcanoes are going to explode and drown the country in lava. America doesn't even have volcanoes, but God is going to bring out volcanic stumps of volcanic hot lava and things from the ground. And it's going to crack open, and that's going to be part of the judgment. But the nation's primary judgment is in two areas that America cannot stand. And these are her two main areas of judgment. America is extremely proud. And one thing proud people hate is to fall. That is actually why the punishment for pride is a fall. Pride goes before a fall. God will oppose the proud and he will exalt the humble. So because America is extremely proud, she is going to come down and be humbled, and everyone is going to see it. God will not put that neat little changing room curtain in front of the United States so that as she's falling backstage, you know, with the curtains down and people are like, what's that thumping? But they can't see her fall. This fall is going to be epic. It's going to be public. It's going to be well televised. The first part of the fall is going to be well televised here. But once invasion gets underway and things like that, then the news stations outside are going to be capturing drone footage here. I've already shared that God says, other nations, enemies of America, the Arabs especially, are going to go to town with the drone footage. Because the rebellion takes the form of pride, God will match that pride with a fall. And then also because the rebellion takes the form of hurting others, harming others, America even harms her own people. Therefore, the punishment is going to be that the same hurt given is going to be received here. The same master of the universe, world conqueror stance is going to be the exact type of stance that President Xi and President Putin will bring here. And so when you confront God with rebellion, it is that exact type of punishment that you will get. And Israel took a very long time to build herself up to this. This captivity here of the people that are being named now in diaspora, right? It is not a new thing. It happened in the Bible several times. It's not once, but several times that Israel was bundled up and taken away out of their land. And it's because they were unrighteous, they were rebellious, they were breaking the covenants of God. And if you study their history over a long period of time, you won't see that, for instance, the first transgression, God made them eat their children. This is one of the judgments that you can find in the book of Jeremiah and the book of Ezekiel. God was telling them, I will feed you with your own children. I will make you to starve so bad that you will eat your own children. And then they ended up eating their children. In one of the sieges that they fell under, The king was walking on the wall trying to solve the problem of we're under siege and we're starving. And a woman came to him and said, "Oh, king, I have a problem for you to solve." And he said, "Speak on, woman. What is it that troubles you?" And hear what the woman confronted the king with. "Well, you know, we were hungry and we made an agreement with my neighbor. And we said, okay, we'll cook my son today and cook your son tomorrow. So we cooked my son and ate him. And by this time, the poor king wants to fall off the wall because he's thinking, how am I the guy where Moses was judging problems of whose cow fell into whose well, and here I am judging problems of who ate who yesterday, and now the other lady doesn't want to cook her son. The man tore his clothes. This is a symbol of voiding your position, voiding your place in this world. And you have to know that when God allows those he loves to come to that position, you've done much. You've done much. You should be quiet. You should be reflective. You should be asking yourself, before I complain about the lashes laid on my back, how did I come to this? So those who are angry with the position that they occupy now in history, the one thing, the one key that is largely missing from the perspective is, who put you where you are? It's a long way from Jerusalem here. It's a very long way, a very long passage from Africa. And in those days, there's no soft methods of travel. How did you come to be here? Have you thought about that? Because the truly repentant, those who claim that they want this show to get underway because an end times show, it will be. This is an issue that gets people harmed. This issue, talking about this particular matter, the identity of who true Israel is, people with money that I cannot comprehend, people with power that you cannot comprehend, people who are in cahoots with entities that none of us want to comprehend, they have everything vested in suppressing this truth. So no matter what background or ethnicity you are, when you have come to this video, you might be thinking of it on a very shallow level. Oh, what difference does it make what background Jesus comes from or what color people are? And you may have a point there, but at the same time, by the same logic, if it doesn't make any difference, then technically you should not be bothered when God is now at pains to set the record straight. By your own logic, if it doesn't make a difference what color Jesus is, then you shouldn't mind if he doesn't look like the traditional cornflower hair and blue-eyed entity that we all, myself included, thought he was. The one people who have always known, at least a few people on earth have always known what Jesus' true identity was, is the Russians and another group are the Ethiopians. Those two groups of people have never been confused about what true Israelites look like because both those two cultures, one white, the Russians, and the other black, the Ethiopians of modern day, have always had imagery and depictions of what Jesus looks like. And I don't know if the Russians are trying to be petty, but now in modern times, they're flooding the internet with the true pictures and the true iconographs from their basilicas of hundreds of years ago, their 1500s stuff. This is information that a child of moderate school going age should look up. So if you're still fighting for your life and saying it doesn't matter, then you're at the back of the train. But to get myself back centered to what I was saying, this information is central to things that are going to be happening in the end times. These are things that the Lord will just speak to me and I'll listen and I'll write some stuff down. But it's not dinner table conversation. Most people are not prepared to accept it because their world is very Eurocentric. The entire world is Eurocentric. The beauty standards are Eurocentric. Everything has been built with one type of outlook and mindset. And there's strong power behind it. There's strong money behind it. There's very pervasive media behind it. So please excuse me. So to just show up and start speaking these things, It's definitely not from a position of, oh, this person is self-serving. There's nothing in it to be served by. It has to be of a very different motivation. And my motivation is that this matter is central to Jesus Christ's heart. This matter is central to Jesus Christ's prophecy. Jesus is about to fulfill ancient Bible prophecy. And so it's essential for all living to know who is going to be punished, who is going to be requited, and who is going to be blessed and exalted and uplifted to fulfill this prophecy. The strong money behind keeping this quiet, the strong Jewish power behind keeping this quiet. If you steal another man's wallet, if you steal his credit cards, if you steal his equity, if you steal his inheritance, if you steal his property, his land, his everything, then obviously you will go to any lengths to keep that suppressed. You will go to any lengths to keep it quiet. You will go to any lengths to keep it covered up. And to be quite transparent, on earth, some people have more money, more power, and more influence than others. They've built it up over generations. And so when money starts fighting truth, the only way that truth is going to win, the only way that truth is not going to have all the whistleblowers killed early, is for God to get in the fight, is for God to stand up and say, I will do these things. And that is what the Father is doing. He is going to set the balance right, no matter who doesn't like it. No matter who types comments and says it's because you're bitter and you just don't want to get over your emotional problems and what happened in the past. No matter what anybody feels, I've always said when we arrive in the fulfillment of these things, everyone will be quiet. We will all be quiet because you will be able to see it on TV. It will be on TV. I'm going to speak. It will be on TV that they're looking for David's bloodline. It will be on the actual TV. This thing, oh, Benjamin Netanyahu is from the line of Judah. No, he's not. He may be from the line of the Ashkenazi Caucasus, whatever, but he's not from the line of Judah. They're going to be looking for David's actual ancestors. David's actual ancestors. They're going to be looking for this one that God says, the ensign. And none of this is going to play out behind any screen. I'm still in the prophecy. Arise, my people. I'm still in it. I'm simply speaking by the impetus of the Spirit, the things that I have held inside as African Americans themselves have come here and cursed me. Cursed me and rejected me and said that you are no prophet of the Lord. For if the Lord truly sent one among us to speak, why would that one not be speaking on identity? Why would that one not be speaking what is the real prophecy? And I've looked at these things and I've said nothing for 5 years, because the truth of the matter is that God has dealt with his prophecies in exactly the order he wanted to, in exactly the manner he wanted to. He has revealed his truth exactly as it pleases him, not as it pleases you, because there's still so much for Israel to learn in how to deal with God, starting with honor and silence. Dishonor and a loud tongue is what caused boats to bring you here on the ride of your ancestors' lives. Dishonor, disrespect, disregard for God and the ancient prophets he sent to warn about how to walk in a manner pleasing to him is what has caused you to be so far from that Temple Mount, is what has caused that place where Solomon's temple was raised twice and crushed twice. That's why the Muslims have it now, because you don't know how to act, to put it in common parlance. You don't know how to possess your souls by grace. The dignity that is required is lacking. It is sorely lacking. The self-possession is sorely lacking. And you will hear it from his own mouth. They will be looking for the people. Right now, they are looking for the people. You that love to go and lick sticks, you that your arm, anything they say, put it in your arm, you're there. This is complete lack of wisdom. They will be looking for the tribes. There's a word that comes to me now. It is called haplogroups. haplogroups. It has to do with blood. Haplogroups. It has to do with blood, the organizations of blood, the grouping of blood. And you, it may not be known to you, but these things have been studied in quiet. They have been studied in secret, the etymology of peoples. Etymology of peoples means the study of peoples. Who is who? How can you tell who is who? What is the shape of the nose of the who's that are who? What is the shape of the skull of the who's that are who's? How can you tell an African skull from the Negro skull? What are the differences? What are the differences in bone structure? What are the differences in heights? These things have been studied long before they put Netflix and Hulu and porn channels to keep you asleep. And this is everyone, not only Israel. The world has become so morally corrupt and so dumb. The easiest thing is what we reach for. We don't want discipline. We don't want training. We don't want to push ourselves. The easiest thing. The work has become like the work of a horse. So that by the time you get home, all you want is food and recreation and physical interactions to ease your stress. Meanwhile, there are people hunting etymology, the origins of peoples. They know what they are looking for. They are looking for David's heir. They are looking for David's bloodline. They are looking for the ones that the scripture is saying is going to lead in the end times. They are hunting down that enzyme with fire in their eyes while you spend your time on TikTok. There are massive agendas at work in this earth. And I'm simply here to do my part, to lay down the Lord's bricks that he is going to bring his majestic feet and start walking on in the end times. And I'm not going to mislay those bricks. So help me by the Spirit of God, by his grace. They are looking for the tribes. The etymology of peoples, the bloodlines, the heritages, the fathers' houses, David's in particular. Judah is known, but David is in the midst of them. And out of David is going to come a rod. Out of Jesse will come a stump, a rod. And they are searching for that one and that one's house. And that's why everybody is suddenly, wouldn't you like to lick this stick? Why don't you lick this stick so we can see if you're partly Irish and partly French and partly tree frog? Let's check it out. All of this is the gathering of data unto something. God will gather his people together. He will. He says that people are scattered everywhere. He says that there is no land where Israel is not there. His people are seeded out. This was a violent action, flung away, rejected, anger. God was caused so much anger, and he was so patient, and he bore with generation after generation. And he will not bear anymore. He will not bear anymore. God will not withhold anymore concerning the judgment that must come to those who did the crimes. He will not hold back. Because these crimes continue to this day. Lynching is low-key going on to this day. The rejection of the peoples are going on in all the nations. And God will not bear. The thing that was rejected will be brought back into glory. And God will do it. No man will do it. I myself sitting here will not do it. What power do I have to do it? But I can proclaim in his name that he will do it. And when you see it, I'm telling you, the thing will be marvelous. The thing that was rejected, the thing that was falling, the thing that was cast out, the thing that was seen as nothing, not a thing to be remarked on. God will make it beautiful in his time. And so here, hear the word of the Lord, This is a very stern message from the Lord. His voice was very stern. This was a real-time vision, and I was writing what I was seeing. And this is what the Lord says and said, "You stubborn and wicked people, pride of life people, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes people, I know you. I have known you since the days of my gray-haired servant Moses. Hear the voice of your Lord. Obediently you followed when I led you into the wilderness, and patiently you gathered when I fed you in the wilderness. I am the one who found food for you and clothed your nakedness. Thankfully you praised me when your enemies were upon you, and I delivered you from darkness and fearing and the sword of your oppressors. I was the protection over your head by day, the coolness of the journey by your side at evening. Relentlessly you fought my servant, and relentlessly you fought me until I set you aside. And then I saw a man who was seated at a table, very opulent table, very opulently dressed man, but I could only see him from the back. And he was drinking from a particular cup, but this man got tired of drinking from the cup. He set the cup aside, and then he knocked it over in an action of frustration, and the cup fell and it spilled all its contents. And then the cup rolled and it hit the floor, but the man did not care. This was Jesus Christ, just in case you are confused. The cup rolled on the floor, but the man did not care that it had rolled on the floor, and he continued to eat his food. And the servants brought a new cup and set it on the table before him. Rejected nations, this is the peoples, come out of the east, the west, the north, and the south. Come out from among them, my people. Come out and worship and be blameless before me in the day of your restoration. I, the Lord, say, come out." So before I continue, I'll go back. And God is now speaking to his people. This message is for Judah. Judah is all these people that I have named before, all of you from the major West African, Middle African, Southern African tribal nations, your Haitian, Dominican Republic, you're living in the islands around here, Caribbean islands, your Lemba, your Bantu, your Brahmin, all the way over there in India. You're in hidden places like the Maghreb, the Sahara, in the forest hidden from view. So it might even be referring to a few of these tribes that are not even cataloged yet to Western knowledge: Nigeria, Ethiopia, biblical Kush, and many others, and the Black Americans. This whole crowd here is still Judah. So this is not, well, not Judah actually. It's Judah with Ephraim in there. Ephraim are delineations of the 10 tribes. So I'm not going to categorize anyone into anything particularly, but he says, "You are stubborn and you are wicked and you are people of pride. You are people who are pride of life. You are people who are lust of the flesh, and you are people who are lust of the eyes." And if you look in the scripture, the Bible verse where it is condemning people, where it says that the three major sins of man are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when you break down and you think of various sins, you can categorize almost all of them under those three headings. It is either pride of life, you are doing well, you have money, you have means, you have a 401k, you have a jet, or you have jet access, first class access, boat access, influencer access, you know the powerful people. You are that crew that is doing well. Lust of the eyes. You see the bag, it's $50,000. You don't care. You need to add it to the other 22 bags that you have in that same price range. Everyone needs to see your watch. Everyone needs to see what your husband is buying you, or where he's taking you, or where you and your girls are vacationing. And also, even if you don't have the money, don't think it's only the wealthy. that fall into the lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes can simply be lust for food, lust for power, lust for influence. It can be lust to have attention of people, lust to have approval of people. It can be not having enough money, but I just want this. It is just a driving need to have, to get. Lust of the flesh. How many times do I speak here of sexual immorality, adultery, cheating on your spouse? You don't cheat on your spouse, but you are lusting after other people in your heart. As a result, you cannot give to your spouse your full attention. Why? Because your heart is split. You're drooling over every man without a shirt on TikTok. Every comment section, you are there recommending this person is a snack and that person is a whole meal. No restraint, lustful in the heart, and yet saying, but I'm a virgin, I haven't done anything. You just haven't done and acted on the desires that are in your heart. Your entire heart is impure, and God is not looking at you as any kind of set apart person, because he can see what is in you. If we are called guilty of murder just by the words that we speak, or he says that the standard is that if you are thinking of the murder, you've already killed the person, then we cannot be deceived. So here that the Lord is not describing Israel, that is all 12 tribes, in any kind of glowing and shining recommendations. He's saying that this is how I know you. I know you to be stubborn. I know you to be wicked. I know you to be prideful, led by your flesh and the lust of the eyes. I know you. Somebody's telling you this, that means they're looking. We know that people look at you and we can say, I see grandpa so-and-so in you. You look like your uncle on this side and you're standing there, maybe you're 10 years old. You have no idea that your face has been here before, that people can actually spot you by what you look like and who they know you look like. And so the Lord is giving this estimation of people who many times think of themselves higher than they ought to, and God doesn't share that. Let me tell you something about identity. You don't get to pick one. You are what the man says that you are, and you will stay that way until you change internal posture. Posture means, where is your heart pointing? Where is your mind placed? What is your internal temperature? What is the true taste in your mouth? Because many can claim, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, but the Bible says that it's actually your fruit. The tree can say, I'm all apple, but when we see pomegranates or oranges on there, we know that you are a liar and the truth is not in you. By posture, that is the only way that God will come and change what he says about you. But until you change that, you are what he says you are. And this is what he's saying. He says that since the days of Moses, I've known you. When I was leading you in the desert, how did God lead them in the desert? He led them by the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. He said, my angel will go before you. Do not vex him because my spirit is in him. This is Christ himself leading these people in the desert. And also by the visible presence of a prophet, Moses. And God says that Moses had gray hair. This is seniority. Moses didn't pick himself to come and lead these people. God sent this man to lead the ancestors. To those of you who are always out there invoking every demon and talking about you're raising your ancestors. The ancestors would have wanted this. Do you actually know who the ancestors were? What they did? God selected a servant, a physical human man, for them to keep their eyes on, to say he's going left, he's going right. God hemmed them in with supernatural protection, the two pillars and Christ himself leading them in the way. And he says that you were so happy when your enemies attacked you. Amalek attacked them from the back. That's why God said that he would never have peace with them and he was going to wipe out the Amalekites. Some of the nations let them have free passage. And some of the nations did not let them have free passage when they were coming out of their captivity. And God was angry with those ones. God says, I protected you all the time, but you fought my servant. You fought Moses relentlessly. And did they not make that man's life a torment? These people were the reason that Moses died outside These people are the reason that that man of such grace and patience, ended up having just a moment, a snapped moment. And that is how he lost the reward that should have been his. The people drove Moses to it. And God says, and you fought me relentlessly the same way until I set you aside. And this is how I ended up seeing the picture of the man who was drinking from a particular cup. He set the cup down and then he knocked the cup from in front of him and he set another cup in front of him. And this second cup is the Gentile nations. You can hate all you want, but the Bible is very clear. And Apostle Paul explained it all in the book of Romans. He explained it all in the book of Romans of how God grafted in a new root and said that by this root, he will drive his people to jealousy. Other people can pray besides you, Israel. Other people can sing. Other people can dance. Other people can worship. Other people love God. The people in China love God, the underground church. They adore him. The people in the Arab nation, the churches there, they are willing and they have proved their willingness to die for him because they do die for him. They're persecuted terribly. They're starved in the prisons. They are of Ishmael's people. They are of Ishmael's issue, Ishmael's seed, Ishmael's root. But they come out of worship to Allah and they're willing to die for God. Many outside cultures can see Christ, the beauty in him. They don't reject him to open their third eye. They don't reject him to practice Christian witchcraft. They don't reject him to do female fertility rituals. They don't reject him to become Egyptologists and practitioners of Kemet. They don't reject him to say that they're from the Sirius Dog Star. The number of African Americans that come here and tell me, you've only got partial truth. You don't understand about us hybrids. The number of people who are outside of the path is proven, just as the Bible says. The Lord set a new cup, but now he's saying that he's coming back. And the nations that he rejected, that have been scattered to the east and the west and the north and the south, come out from among them, my people. Come out, worship, and be blameless before me in this day of your restoration. I, the Lord, says, come out. I continue. You were accepted until the day iniquity was found in you. Given the pride of place, Judah, strength of the nations, and were your brothers not beside you in the day that you were formed? How come you became so profane, so filthy, and low down? How could you repay me this way? I speak of your father's crimes, but the fathers ate the sour grapes, and their own teeth chattered with the bitterness of it. Indeed, their blood is in you, and your own teeth chatter with the bitterness of the cup I have made them drink. Their crimes are upon your head, even as their crimes rested upon their own head. Drink and be drunk, I said, and they fell among their enemies. Drink and be drunk, I said. This is capital letters. And they wasted in the holding cells and prisons. Their backs were flogged. Their name was taken, their identity taken, their lives were taken, their reason was taken, this is their minds, and madness beset them like hornets. Sting them, make them forget all about me, says the Lord, in the day that iniquity was found in them. Sting them until they fall. So here God is shifting between, I would say, three different groups. God is shifting in this part of the prophecy between the original fathers. We're talking about biblical people, Bible people. And then he's shifting between the ancestors that were here scattered in the islands and everywhere else. Those who he's referring to as their backs were flogged and they were put into the holding cells and the prison. So it's now the slavery time. And then he's also talking about the descendants now. He's talking about the people who are alive now and complaining how unjust their treatment was here in America, how unjust their treatment was in Haiti and everything else. how unfair it was. And yet God is going back in the past. He's taking the modern eye. He's taking the eye that went to NYU and Penn State and Washington State and Georgetown. He's telling that eye, let's look in the past. Let's examine why you are angry and what your reasons to be angry are. And let's see if your reasons are justified when you look through my lens. Iniquity was found in you. This is from Isaiah 14, where the judgment of Satan was being pronounced, and there was an archetype used, and that archetype was called the King of Tyre, a very wicked man. But as you read the King of Tyre's judgment, you're thinking, no, this doesn't fit with a human being's judgment. This sounds exactly like Satan. Oh, how art thou fallen, son of the morning? You were walking among the fiery stones. So you're reading there a little peek into how God got sick of Satan's uplifted nature and caused him to fall. So God was saying here that Judah is given pride of place. Judah's not the first son in Israel. Judah's the fourth son. But because of things that his elder brother did, unrighteous things, the father, when he was pronouncing judgment, he cast them lower. And through God, he wasn't pronouncing the judgment by himself. The father Jacob, upon his deathbed, was pronouncing prophecies over each of his sons. And when it came to Judah, he actually lifted him up to be the scepter, which is the rod, the ruler, and gave him the kind of blessings that you would expect the firstborn, Reuben, to get. And so God says that the pride of place is given to Judah as the strength of the nations. But right after it, God is asking Judah, weren't your brothers right beside you in the day that you were formed? In other words, a question that I have asked here twice tonight, Judah, are you an only child? Is it possible that because God has given you the leadership place that you think you own all 12 places? Can you be all 12 sons and still yourself? Don't you have brothers? Don't those brothers have placement in the Israelite family? If you are given the regality of the firstborn, do you not also carry with it the responsibility of the firstborn to be the protector, shelter, leader, and the one who is the carer of your brethren? Isn't this what Reuben did, despite Joseph's friskiness? Isn't he the one who stood up against Simeon and Levi and said, don't hurt the boy? Didn't he go away thinking that I will come back at another time when they're not focused on this kid? Because I know this boy is a pain in the buttocks, but I will come back at another time to take him back to the father. Isn't that the heart and the posture of a firstborn? Or is it simply to say, I'm the first, I'm the first. I sit in the front seat. Don't forget, I'm the first. Being first is a hefty responsibility. All true firstborns know that. You have to step up anytime your parents are not available, and you are answerable for your brethren. And that is something that God has been looking to see. But even in the Bible, Judah failed to do that when it was just a person, when he was just a person that we were dealing with. Never forget, when it comes to prophecy and God is pronouncing something over you, it is your responsibility to pray the positive parts of it out and to pray the negative parts away. It's just like someone saying to you, you're just like your mother, and you know your mother's good points, but you know her flaws. You don't just receive the whole thing like that. You receive the good parts, and it's your responsibility to, in prayer, deflect the negative parts away. So God is asking, how come then, Judah, you are so profane, filthy, and low down? Judah, why are you in the strip clubs on the pole? And Judah, why are you in the strip clubs throwing money at your sisters on the pole? Judah, why are you down low and gay? Why do you love men when you are a man? And why are you transing and joining all the American trans documentary to speak your truth? How could you repay me like this? I remember your father's crimes. Your fathers ate sour grapes and their teeth were chattering with the bitterness of it. This is just basically being chained up every couple of generations and taken here and taken there. This is every time you sin against God, then you look up and the Philistines are upon you like flies, smashing everything. And then God will restore you. And then you sin again and you start going after Asherah poles and you start doing this. And then before you know it, the Midianites are upon you, setting the fields on fire. Such a torturous punishment it was during the time of the judges when Samson and Gideon were alive. Every single time they worked all year to get a harvest, Midian would wait until the food was ready, come and torch the whole thing, kill all their animals, and then go back home and watch them starving for a season. Because if your food is burnt, what's going to happen next? And God says they were eating the bitterness of their sins. And their same blood is in you now, and you have to fight it. You have to fight it. Your own teeth are chattering with the bitterness of the cup that I made them drink. So after they sinned and they finally sinned their ways to the point where they were taken away, according to the fullness of Deuteronomy 28. Now the tribes have found themselves scattered abroad. What is the life like abroad? Is it a life of dignity? Is it a life of respect? Is it a life of equity? Have you participated in all the benefits that America has? Do you participate in all the benefits that South Africa has, Kenya has? Are you participating in all the benefits that the various nations have? Are you equal? Are you raised up? Do you have equity, or are you 3/4 of a person? And did you pick cotton until people bled and died from exhaustion, from rape, from being sodomized by the overseers, from watching their wives abused as men took turns with them? And then she will still be sent back to your bed. She's still your lawfully wedded wife, and you're still expected to breed with her because more slaves are needed. That is what he means. The fathers ate the sour grapes, but the children's teeth have been set on edge, and now the descendants are sitting with the blood of bitterness inside them. So, God made Israel drunk in the Bible, and her enemies took her. God made Israel drunk in history, and her enemies brought her on ships and flogged her back, took away her name. All the names were recorded in the slave annals. This and that Yah, this and that Yah. His name was in their names. If you look at those old slave journals, all the people who came, the same way their names are Hananiah and Benaiah, Obadiah, Jeremiah, their names carried his name. Their names were taken away and they were called Toby, Clementine, and Boy. This is part of the punishment. Their identity was taken, their lives were taken, their reason was taken. You'll go mad. You will literally go mad. Deuteronomy 28 says that when you see your master sleeping with your wife, you will go mad. When you see your master's son of 22 years sleeping with your six-year-old, you will run mad. Madness is the end of, it is the only place that a heart will end up, when the heart has no rest, no respite. When you're tired and you're hungry and you're beaten and you're full of rage that you don't get counseling for, and you call upon heaven, and heaven is brass because heaven is playing its role to reject you, according to Deuteronomy 28. When heaven says, I won't hear you, the heavens will be brass. That means your tears and your prayers will not pierce the brass. It won't get through. So as God prophesied through Moses, God did. So the madness will sting you. The judgments will sting you. And God says that the stinging will make you forget about me. You will forget all about me. This means that you will become a people who are not godly. You will literally pick up the ways of your captors. You will pick up the ways of wherever you have been carried. This is why some of the tribes are out there practicing other religions. I can't imagine that Brahmin people are reading the Bible. I can't imagine that tribes out there have even heard of the word of God. You heard in the other prophecy, Buffalo Soldiers, how they went across into a secluded place and they carried on the practice of God. But as always, when men take their eyes exclusively off of God, immediately, please hear this, even if you're a modern day Christian, corruption creeps in. It instantly, corruption doesn't take time. It's like eating lasagna and a piece falls. That piece doesn't fall and then you see the mark of the lasagna 6 weeks later. The instant it touches you, it makes a mark. And the whiter your clothing, the more glaring the mark. That is corruption of sin. That is having inappropriate conversations in the inbox when you're married. That is allowing even a thought of flattery from a woman at your job, a thought of flattery from a man at your job, even if you are single. You can look along the timeline and see yourself without clothing in that person's house. It is just a matter of time. When corruption comes in, it will start to do its work. And if you're not quick to stop it, it will complete its work. So, a people that forgets about God forgets who they are. Our identity is locked in with God, especially as children of God. No matter who you are today, no matter what your skin color and your background, as I've said, the Gentiles have been loving God a long time and they shall continue and they will sing with him in the New Jerusalem. He's not going to hand them over to trial and tribulation when they are his own. Whoever names the name of God will be saved. That is what the Bible says. And so, what I saw as he was speaking all this, I started to see a vision, and I saw a vision like the ship I just showed you, and the people in it were so still. You wouldn't know that those people were alive, how still they were sitting. They were almost lifeless, and that is because those people were starving on that ship. They were hopeless, lifeless, motionless, so hungry, and yet in most of them, there was something burning like a blue flame in them, and that was just rage. A lot of the slaves who made it into wherever they went, whether you went to Jamaica or Haiti or to the cane fields, wherever else, a lot of those people simply survived because the will to live in them was that they would pay it back. It was blue murder in their hearts, rage like a blue light like this inside them, in their chests. And yet you look at the physical body, they didn't even have the energy to wipe sweat off their faces, to wipe tears. They were just sitting there and occasionally somebody's eyes would move. And that is how I knew that they were alive. Nobody had energy to move. Nobody had energy to resist or fight. They had been sitting like that for so many days, chained to each other's. Days, weeks, none of them were able to mark times down there anymore. None of them knew how long they had been there. They didn't know anything. And I myself, looking into the belly of the ship, I also didn't know how much time has passed. The stench in that place was beyond understanding. The stench in that place was what you cannot imagine. Human beings left to do every biological function right where they are. They're not being provided amenities. This is not a cruise. This is not Royal Caribbean with the bathrooms are at the both ends. There's nothing like that. They were just doing it where they were, sitting in it like animals. Even animals will not do their business and sit in it. These people were left to sit in it. And so the stench there was the stench of human beings left way too close to each other for way too long. A filthy, filthy place. And the best that they would do is that they would pour seawater from the holes in the deck. So the people at the top, wherever they were living, at the top of the ship or maybe in upper rooms, they would not come in to hose it down in there or do anything like that in there. They would just pour a ton of seawater in to wash the people and wash the deck. That is all the attention they would give it. They would just pour the seawater in and then you just see it seeping in, splashing on them, coming in through holes and things like that. And the people were so hungry and they were so thin. And I saw that a lot of them were plotting the blue murder of revenge in their hearts, even as their bodies were withering and dying. It is a terrible scene. Hopelessness and rage is what I see. Hopelessness and rage. And then Just like a movie, when the movie is done and they begin to roll the credits, I began to see words written against these people. So the picture is there, and then I begin to see words written against the people in blue ink. And this list was such a long list. It's such a long list. When I say that God has been patient, Yah has been exceptionally patient. And I think we really need to reconstruct the way we think and the way we see things, and to stop seeing things through this modern lens of, I've suffered this and I'm going on the podcast. Stay away from the podcast. Stay home and think about your life. Think about Jesus Christ. Think about the past. And if you want to be found in favor with him, readjust your thoughts. Let the noisy Israelites go on the podcast and keep talking, because they don't know that God is coming to set things right. You that have wisdom, go to your chamber and do what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 9. The way he began to repent for the sin of his forefathers. He was just a boy in captivity. But when Daniel was old and he knew the time of captivity was up, he didn't go and say, God, do you see what those people did? And we had to come here to Babylon. He started to say, oh God, to us and to our fathers belongs shame of face, meaning we are so ashamed in front of you. We have no excuse. This is 70 years later. The best years of Daniel's life are gone. If he came when he was 12 or 13 or 14, trained in Nebuchadnezzar's household before he started the job, we can place him at 80, between 80 and 85 years. His whole life is gone. Daniel knew he wasn't going back to Israel. He was praying for the remnants to be taken back in accordance to the prophecy that said only 70 years judgment, and then you can come back. And so let your words be few, as the Bible says, God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. This is advice that only wise people will take. Unwise people will dismiss it the way they dismiss everything else. The picture of the people was there and their crimes began to scroll up. Just like these cigarette ads that say they sell the cigarettes and then they say cigarettes may cause harm, blah, blah, blah. And they do it so fast. These people's sins began to run ahead of the picture. So many sins that I only saw one, two, three, four, five. I only saw five of them. I only saw five of them. And this is the five that I saw. The first one is idolatry. I managed to catch that one in the scrolling list. The next one that I saw is lust. The next one that I saw is iniquity. The fourth one that I saw is false worship. The fifth one that I saw is human sacrifice. And this last crime was accused of all nations that were named at the beginning of this word, but especially Black and African nations. But God says all of them have done this thing of human sacrifice and they're all guilty of it. So this is killing people to do witchcraft, or sending the witchcraft against so-and-so, and then the person dies, and then it's the kind of witchcraft where you actually kill because you need human blood, you need human flesh, you need baby's genitals, or things like that, or you need an adult male genitals, or you need a male virgin or a female virgin's this part or that part. This is the thing. Also putting people to death in rituals. Also putting people to death to appease other gods. This is Incas, Olmecs. This is so many cultures. Killing people and roasting them. This is hunting down albinos in Africa and then saying, oh no, their blood will appease this. That's why they're light like that. They're aberrations. We have to kill them. This is a lot of insanity that has been running down generationally. The idolatry part, it's all through the Bible. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But Israel has not heeded this. Israel continues to worship gods today. Israel has gods today. The gods are on YouTube music. The gods are having shows in Dubai. The gods are on your Spotify. You're paying the gods and defending the gods and enraged when the gods are prophesied against that they will fall out of the pulpits. Israel continues to worship false gods, false worship. This is insincere worship. This is falsehood that you are a child of God when your life looks nothing like it. This is falsehood when your life is severely disabled. Your life cannot pass the test of being the genuine child of God. This is lust. How often do I speak of it? No need to go into it here. That thing needs to be chained up in people. You need a whole washing before God. And iniquity. Iniquity is inherited sin, bloodline sin, generational sin, where God is saying, the blood of your fathers and their very nature is upon you still, and I can still see it. Has anyone ever told you that all these things are part and parcel? Or is it only the time is up, we've got next? Time is up, up next. There's a lot that goes into this. This is the Holy One's perspective. So if you can hear it laid out and detailed, there's a reason for that. And so I continue. Human sacrifice. Who suggested this? Why do you do it? Who taught you this abomination? I have created man in my image. I have created a woman for my glory. Yet you roast people on spits as if this is a civilized thing to do. This is literally putting a pike through a human being and roasting it the way you see in the ancient movies with the king and the queen, and they're roasting a pig on a stick. You have served demons, you and your fathers before you. And you gave up my creation as ransom to other gods in your lust for power. Their cries were against you, so I toppled you, and I sold your souls as bread. So you can hear what the Lord says, that killing people, their blood goes into the earth, and the earth begins to cry out. There's been a murder here. There's been a rape here, and blood was shed from the child that was jumped on in the bushes. There's been an abortion here. And even if the blood was caught in the clinic, where is that baby going to end up? In the earth somewhere, or on a plate. And so God says, this is service to demons. This is the testimony against you. You have served demons. Your fathers have served demons. Your fathers before you served them. And you gave up humanity, my creation, as a ransom to other gods in your lust for power. Their cries were against you, so I toppled you. I pushed you down, and I sold your souls as bread. And then I saw that vision come back again, and the Lord was still sitting at his table, and the cup was still laying on the floor, and the Lord was looking off into the distance. And it seems that he was thinking, and there were many of us gathered there. So I was there, and I can't tell you who else was there, but there seemed to be many in the room, like courtiers or people who wait on a king. And we were waiting for him to speak. We're waiting for him to make a judgment. Now, please hear the judgment of God. Listen to me, you disobedient nations. All of you have sinned against me. But now I am ready to forgive. My heart has found forgiveness. My love for you never faltered, even when you were scattered and some of you forgot my name. I have never forgotten you. I say, I love you with an everlasting love and even with tenderness, with deep emotion. I will gather you in the time of love and restore you as my crown, my goblet, my cup of righteousness. I will restore what I have broken down. I will rebuild what I tore down, and your righteousness will be from me. The wall shall be rebuilt, and that in a perilous time. Hear the voice of your bridegroom. I am coming. My reward is with me. Repent and do those works you did at the first, when your fathers were my people and I was their God. And so I always say here that before the Lord can bring a judgment, before the Lord can bring a sentence, he will always read a charge. And so you've heard the charge of the past. You've heard the charge of the distant past, and you've heard the charge of the middle past. And now you are even hearing the charge of the current time, the things that the current descendants are guilty of. idolatry and false worship and lust and carrying iniquity in themselves and even human sacrifice. If you're part of this abortion movement, if you're part of this trans movement, you're chopping up the body that God gave you, you seriously need to come to order. You need, honestly, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to stop talking so much. You need to stop having something to say to every video that is made on a channel like this or any other channel, or even when your pastor is talking to you. You need to step aside from this end time satanic narrative of this and that is too judgmental. Let me tell you something. The Bible gives a believer all authority in Christ to judge with righteous judgment. When the Bible says, by their fruits you will know them, it's literally telling you, be able to discern the fruits. Those of you who are sitting in these sacrilegious, going to hell churches like Mike Todd's churches, you're sitting there and you're watching a jester and a buffoon, a clown, someone who is marked for judgment. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need a collar to be able to discern when a person is marked for judgment. But because we have become so unrighteous in the earth today, we think that the Bible says that, oh no, God bears long. We think that what we can do is we can press Bible verses like that to breaking point. You can see when God has judged someone. One of the primary signs that God has judged that a person is that they will begin to hurtle into destruction. They won't walk anymore. They will not walk into destruction anymore. They will begin to jog and then to run and then a full out sprint. And what that person is doing is because they have a date with the judgment of God, they begin to go over and above because they are about to become what is called a sign, a wonder, a hissing. In the ancient days, after God would judge a place, after he would have the Israelites or he would have the Israelites' enemies sack a place, completely tear down the walls, I mean, release their rock cannons against it, burn the whole thing by. That place would be called a hissing. And what would happen is that people would walk by and go, they would suck their teeth. They would breathe out in amazement to see what to them was annihilation and destruction, because of course they don't know tanks and bombs and cannons. We are in an era where human beings are not only reprobate, but reprobate and apostate at the same time. We are seeing what not even the ancient peoples saw. But the shocking thing is how disgusting are the souls of modern people that they sit in the company of the goats and then they say, I kind of get what he was trying to say. You are literally applying for a visa to hell. And I'm not shy to tell you. I don't care what you think. I don't care how people cut these videos and use them and misconstrue my words and twist them, because it is impossible to mishear what I'm saying. People are hurtling into hellfire. But the tragedy is how many people are willing to go with them for the sake of being approved by the masses. You want to be more merciful than God. God has made it clear in his word what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. He has lined up for us what a pastor is, what an elder is, what a prophet is. He has made it so clear. But this modern generation, to please Satan, continues to widen the parameters and say, no, but it's a teaching church. These things are illustrations. These are illustrations of how many of you have no qualms about going to hell in a group. You have no qualms about the Lord appearing to you of a dark night to tell you what he said to that man in Matthew. This night, your life will be required of you. You have no fear. Imagine not going to hell for your own sin, but for the sin of another, because you break the law of Romans chapter 1 and verse 32 and condone what can never be excused. Imagine that. Hell is like jail, except that there won't be much conversation. In jail, people always ask one another, what are you in for? I did this and I did that. Imagine being in hell consequential to Romans chapter 1 and 32, which says that you know that those that commit certain sins are deserving of death, but you either do them yourself or you are supportive and approve of those who do the sin. We have come long past the ends of God's patience with iniquity, with immorality. And at the very time that men and women should be taking heed to themselves, I tell you all the time here, without any filter, that I hear the sound of a multitude rushing headlong into hell. It will be standing room only on the day of judgment. For what you excuse, for what you walk around saying, well, we can't be too sure, we can't see his heart. Even those who say, I'm not going to say anything because I know I have my faults, you are also unrighteous. Because what you're saying is, I see a dumpster fire, but I can't speak about that dumpster fire because I also have a small fire burning in my own trash can. The righteous person will say, I have a small trash can fire, but I definitely see that building going up in flames. Somebody ought to do something about that. I can't because I have a small fire going, but somebody ought to do something about that big fire. These big fires in the churches are taking many people to hell. And the shame is that you don't have any problem to go. Your son doesn't have any problem going. Your husband doesn't have any problem going. Your mom is determined to go to hell with T.D. Jakes. She felt that she missed the train with Eddie Long. She supported him right into an early grave, but now she has a follow-up backup, and she's determined not to let him down. You will be cut out of this. You cannot bring iniquity into this. He says, after much thought, after smacking that cup out of his sight, he never said, I now set aside the second cup and to take the first cup and I'm now going to push the second. No, he didn't say that. He says, I am now willing to forgive you disobedient nations. Does that sound like come and continue to be defiled? I'm now willing and ready to forgive. My heart has found forgiveness. Do you know what it is to find forgiveness? It means that one was so wronged that they had to take time. They had to take time to search out grace within them to forgive. And now the Lord is offering this grace. And what is the community doing? The community is out showing its support at the concerts of the goats that claim that they are Christians. The goats that are saying, yes, I went to a few Diddy parties, but when I told you that goat was a goat in 2022, did you not come for me when I was saying that I saw the dark-skinned rapper that is known as Lecrae, that he does not serve God, and if he doesn't take a care, he will end up outside of the Lord's grace in judgment when I said it? What was the response? Was I called righteous in my judgment or unrighteous and filled with hatred and bitterness? And here we are barely 2 years later, and the goat is now saying out of its Baphomet mouth what it has done. And still, the community is extending grace. Where is the discernment? Where is the wisdom? Where is the cutoff points? Because Satan is also recruiting. He's recruiting through these pastors. Satan is making phone calls, and the unwise are taking the phone calls and saying, well, yes, 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 please look at my hands. Yes, I'll take this call. I'll become a mouthpiece for you, Satan. That's what the unwise are doing. But the wise, those who keep covenant, those who remember that God can be the enemy of a sinner, and a sinner's generation to 3 and 4 generations, but to the righteous, he will keep his covenant for 1,000 generations. Those people, let them be careful. Let them not walk in the sins and iniquity of the fathers. The fathers welcomed false idols. The fathers welcomed false gods. The fathers participated in false worship, and it earned them a boat ride into torments and hell. Let not the descendants, no matter where they are scattered around the earth, let not the descendants do the same thing. Hear what God is saying. Repent and do the first works. What were the first works? Dancing in the presence of God, keeping the Lord's commandments, honoring his Sabbath, walking in his ways, holy, righteous, faithful, virtuous, able to point out a sin. They would stone the sin out of their midst. But these days, we make TikToks about the sin, and then we say, what do you think? I think he should be careful. These men have gone out so far outside the lines, and you still extend grace to them, and you hate those who tell you that the Lord says it's time to cut them off. Apostle Paul was so clear. He says, hand over such a one to Satan for judgment. Because when God puts them in the hands of Satan, some of them, that's the only way that they will learn. Some of them will come out of the judgment and their soul would have been saved, and some of them will not come out of it and it will be no less than they have earned. But I'm speaking to you out there. You are saying, no, let's enlarge this thing. Celestial's God is much too restrictive. That's her. That's how she sees God. This is how God sees himself. And nothing will prove it greater than at the end when he begins to cut off from Israel. Read your Bible. Many got cut off in Israel. God will handle in-house business. Listen and understand, you who are wise. Many got cut off. Leviticus 15, Leviticus 19. Ezekiel 22, it says, the man who lays with a woman when she is on her time of the month, let them be cut off from their people. This is an Israelite in an Israelite. He didn't say put them out of the camp. He says the woman who is on her time is unclean. And then for three other types, I think it's Leviticus 18, 19, and Ezekiel 22, he says, the man who is enticed to lay with a woman in her blood, cut them off from the people. Did he say cut off the Philistine and the Moabite from the people? No. You can get cut off from the community. You can get cut off. You can be under a headstone, a gravestone, and you will not know any of this that I'm talking about. You can leave the party early. Many parents send their kids upstairs and say, go to bed because you don't know how to behave. It can happen. It can happen. It's happening right now. And will continue to happen. To those who have stubble, bricks, and wax for ears. Repent and do those works you did at the first. When your fathers were my people and I was their God, hear what God is saying. I have a new generation. I will begin again with you. I have a new generation. Hear the expectations. He doesn't expect to look at you and see your fathers. He doesn't expect to look at you and see the father's sin. He doesn't expect to look at you and see the father's attitude, the father's way of dressing, the father's way of speaking, the father's way of looking at the world, the father's approach to the Bible. He doesn't want to hear anyone say to you, you remind me of your fathers. I have a new generation. I will begin again with you. That is all. The prophecy is this. From June the 7th, 2019, I have finished the Slavery Chronicles, the four-part prophecy of judgment to the United States, judgment for enslavement of the Lord's people, the exposure of those who say that they are Jews and they are not, the people who are in the Middle East, the people in the current modern-day land of Israel, are not the Jews of the Bible. They have absolutely no linkage to Abraham, to the lineage of Shem. They are not the people of the Bible. They are not the people to whom the judgment of God accrues. They are not the people to whom the promises of regathering and restoration accrue. I am announcing that there is a bright light of revival promised to the nations and the peoples that I have mentioned, and those that I have not called by name, but the Lord says that they are still a part of Israel. The peoples are by no means exhaustive. Those listed were only what I heard. no matter their crimes against Jesus, forgiveness and restoration have now been extended. These nations shall receive their inheritance, but no one except Jesus Christ himself will do it. The crimes of the fathers have fallen away under the blood of the Lamb, and now the door is open for these descendants to return to the worship of the true and the living God that sits between the flaming cherubim in his high heaven, observing the ways of men. That is all. I add nothing else except, hear today the words of the Lord. Amen. I am Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice. The Master's Voice was raised up by God to be here for you, all peoples of all nations, to bring forth the true prophetic word of the Lord in these end times. This is an end times prophecy blog. I am not here for bubblegum and fluff and Celestial, what do you think about the next election? I have no thoughts to share whatsoever on anything. Please believe me when I tell you, I am not interested in the things that most people are interested in. I'm making sure that God's way, God's word, and God's agenda is put forward to the whole earth. Because God too is looking for a people. He is looking for a righteous people. He is looking for a people who are able to confess with their whole soul that Jesus Christ is Lord. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, his real remnant, inclusive of his people Israel, are seated throughout the nations. And God's concern is that we should not become dull, but we should be very bright and flaming until the end of all things. We should not become useless salt. We should continue being salt wherever we are. We should continue being light in the nations. And yes, powerful prophetic things, powerful prophetic themes are underway. This regathering is going to take place. This enzyme, God is going to raise up this person in the earth. The enzyme is not a child. The enzyme is not a little one. The enzyme is full grown, and the enzyme has been prepared by God, is being prepared. And there are many... Thank you, Lord. Special interests. I will just call it special interests converging at a point of inevitable collision. There are many groups. Just imagine this show that they have, The Amazing Race, and they're all racing to one location and they're all following the same clues. In The Amazing Race, people don't get different clues. Everybody gets the same clues and everybody gets, I guess, different modes of transportation. And the whole point of the show is to see who gets to the final destination first. So they're looking for David's seed. They're looking for the enzyme. And I can't imagine that they would have positive plans for this person when they find them. But God is the one who knows this person. God is the one who's preparing this person. And this person will be lifted up. And I explain this in the prophecy that is called Israel is a Nation. You can go and read it in Isaiah 11, that the enzyme is going to be lifted up for Jew and Gentile. The enzyme is going to be lifted up for Israel and Gentile, which means that God is definitely going to have an end times amalgam, a beautiful two-branched tree of all his people who love him, of different tribes and tongues, and yes, his firstborn, his roots, his Jacob, as some call it. So this is the word of the Lord. I finished this very heavy thing that has been sitting on this blog like a rock for many years. And the Lord has brought me full circle to do it. And now I will continue. I think there's one more prophecy concerning the American Indians. It's called An Original People. And it was a very startling look that God gave me at how these people were judged. It is amazing, some of the visions that I've seen. I look and I just think, Lord, who can uncover the secrets like this? I saw how those people felt. I saw it and I saw how they felt when they saw the settlers coming across the sea. How strange it was to them to see these boats coming for the first time. Like, what is this? Even the old people wanted to see. And they couldn't climb the cliffs and the rocks. And the young braves, the young guys made some kind of, I don't know, something like a sling. You know how you put your baby in the sling in the front or the back? They made those things. And they carried some of them up there so that they could have a good view of the ships coming for the first time. And they were judged because they were unrighteous. So unrighteous people should always repent. That is the truth. It is not my personal view. It's the blunt view of the Bible. If you're unrighteous, it means that sin is upon you. Sin has been attributed to you. Read Psalm 32. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord attributes no sin. What does it mean to attribute sin? It means that the sin may be there, but God will look at an Abraham lying to an Abimelech, an Abraham lying to Pharaoh, and then God will say, I see no sin. For the sake of God's covenant with Abraham, God wasn't going to call his best friend a liar. The same way, for the sake of not cutting off Adam's issue from the earth, God was like, Cain and Abel who? From Adam comes Seth. You can't tell majesty what to do. You can't, you just can't do it. So when he says unrighteous, the first thing out of your mouth is, God, I'm sorry, I repent. Make me clean and wash me. That's what the blood is there for. Why argue? Why fight? So thank you for being with me. This is the Master's Voice Prophecy Blog. I am Celestial. The prophecy, the Slavery Chronicles, is completed. And I will continue bringing the word of the Lord concerning idolatry, concerning the hypocritical nature of the church. I still have church prophecies to get through. I still have Nephilim prophecies to get through. I still have the fall of modern idols prophecies to get through. So there's quite a lot still coming up on the blog. God bless you. Please feel free to subscribe. There is no pressure. And share the videos with your friends, with your family, if they will receive it. Always pray for them, because there is a shell over people's heart. There is a covering over people's heart. And they're not easily going to receive these things. You need to pray for them so that they can have the capacity to receive these things. Otherwise, they will just reject it. And then you will say, well, that's your choice and you're going to hell. Hell is a very difficult place. Hell is a very difficult place from which there is no negotiation and no escape. The best thing for a human being is to alter the course of your life through repentance and through grasping onto the Lord Jesus Christ so that you don't go there. Because once you go there, it's done. So, God bless you. And until I see you again, goodbye.